You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Celebrating 30 years of the Junkies, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. It's Fishcakes, EB, and JP. Later in the program, Ben Standing to talk about the changes at the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. Josina Anderson joins us at 9:40. But joining us right now is Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. Coach Carberry is presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAortho.com. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Coach. Let me ask you a question. You know, I know obviously you have to deal with, we've talked about it before, like personnel issues, maybe sending a guy down or that kind of, you know, how difficult that is, right? What about when you have to do it with an assistant? How often, I don't know if you've done that throughout your career, where you maybe work with a guy for a year or two and, you know, just for whatever reason, you got to make a change. How difficult is that?
Yeah, staff changes are difficult because a little bit different from players. You work so closely with them and you get to know their families and you're literally in the trenches for so many hundreds of hours together.
Yeah.
So it is really, really, really difficult when you have to make those decisions and that. And then you hope that the business part of it, and that's where we all understand when you get into this, you're eventually going to be let go and fired. That's the old saying, you're hired to be fired.
Mm-hmm. And
so I think everybody's bitter, especially when things happen. You're not human if when you get let go and you're not a little bit pissed off. But then I think once you have time to digest those things, you sort of sit back and go, it's just part of the business and your friends and, you know, have those relationships carry on.
So Coach Carbs, that 7-4 win over Anaheim on Monday, that game had a little bit of everything.
It
had 11 goals, a hat trick, two penalty shots, multiple fights, Potts, two more goals. I mean, that was a wild one. The fans definitely got their money's worth.
Sort of got his first hat, right?
Yeah, sort of has 5 points. It you're spot on. Had everything, had a couple of scraps, a hat trick. You know, we get up early in the game, and then all of a sudden they get two quick ones, and it's Titans right up. So the game was real tight right to the end with protecting that one goal lead and getting the two empty net goals. But yeah, definitely an entertaining one at Cap One.
So pretty cool that you got to deliver the news on the guys making the Olympics, but I want you to talk about what it's like now to have a team without Willie in the lineup.
Yeah, he's a huge piece. There's, I can't sugarcoat it. He's just on so many different levels, starting in the locker room from a leadership, from him setting the tone, and then once he steps on the ice, he plays in every situation for us. Power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5, matchups, plays against other teams' top lines. And then also the physical element that he brings of him just basically dragging his teammates into the fight, so to speak, on a nightly basis. So there's no replacing Willie. We're just hoping that other guys can step up and fill that void a little bit, by not by one person, but by a group effort.
So Sordiff gets his first NHL hat trick, almost better than the three goals were the pics that the Caps put out on Twitter of him as a kid wearing the Ovi sweater with the assistant captain A on it from back in the day, like opening up gifts on either his birthday or Christmas. It's almost like he was destined to become a Washington Capital if he became a pro hockey player. It's just cool to see the fact that he idolizes Ovi. He gets a hat trick in the same game. Ovi scores two goals. Pretty cool confluence there.
Yeah, unbelievable. And you know what, guys? That when you think about this, this is just shows you another example of Ovi's impact on the game and how it goes so much further than the DMV. Justin Sordiff grew up in British Columbia, right around where I grew up. Mm-hmm. Around the Vancouver area. Okay, so Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, they've got the Canucks. They've got, maybe you're an Oilers fan, a Calgary Flame fan, Seattle Kraken up there. And what does he get for Christmas? He's an Ovi fan. All he gets an Ovi jersey. And that's just the impact that Ovi's had on the game and Sordy. Growing up in Vancouver, as it's just Canuck country up there. He's rocking the Ovi, and you got a Washington Capital young fan up there.
So Coach Carbs, that line on Monday with Leno, Swords, and Mikey combined for 11 points. And Mikey's like the graybeard of that group at just 24 years old. That's a really like young group that you're sending out there, and they gave you amazing results on Monday.
Yeah, that's they stepped up big time offensively for us and carried the load, and you know, in a tough matchup as well of playing majority of their shifts against that Troy Terry line and Leo Carlson. So it's, we needed every bit of it, and good for those guys, even as being young players. Like, you love to see that from young players that just aren't, you know, accumulating games and just, I'm going to get by tonight. They're trying to have an impact, and they're trying to be able to not just take a back seat, but potentially carry the load some nights. And so good for Leno and Mikey and Sordy for doing that the other night. And now, and it'll be good because tonight now we play Dallas. And so now you're going to get probably some more veteran, like they'll get a heavy dose of Mikko Rantanen and Wyatt Johnston tonight. So that's a huge challenge for them to be able to play them at both ends of the rink and then hopefully win that matchup and maybe be able to chip in with a goal or two. Obviously it's not realistic to think they're going to get five every night, but to be able to handle those matchups is impressive.
Carbs, so Dallas played last night down in Carolina and they got beat 6-3. When a team plays the night before you play them, how much of that particular game do you watch? Do you watch any of it?
Yeah. I'll watch majority of it usually. And if I don't watch it, then I'll watch it in the morning.
Right. Okay.
And scrub through it and see what went on. And I always, just for you guys, kind of a fun fact, or not fact, but when you watch these back-to-backs, you're kind of hoping that the team wins the night before, because then they're like coming in, they've got 2 points, you know, maybe they just, all right, we're going to watch. So when they lose last night in Carolina, I go, geez, here we go. We're going to have an angry Dallas Star coming in to Cap One tonight. But they're having a phenomenal year, really good hockey team, play out west. We saw them earlier this season. Really, really quality team.
So, Coach Carb, speaking of angry, who was more upset at the Carly penalty on Monday that resulted in the Anaheim penalty shot? Was it Carly who slammed the penalty door shut. He was clearly not happy. And then they cut to a shot of you on the bench, and it looked like you had just eaten like a half a lemon. Your face was not your face was not a pretty one at that point. You look particularly upset there.
Hey, I just saw this on my social media. I'll have to send it to you guys and find a way. You know how Carly slams the door there? The other night, I'll find it for you guys. The guy goes into the box, this player on the one team, and he's so pissed off, and he grabs the door and slams it. Mm-hmm. And the penalty box NHL attendant, like, stepped in outside, and the door went slam. Like, he was standing in the door. And the player, oh, my gosh, he wore the door right on his back. I saw it on the highlights. It was brutal. It was a weird one because you rarely see the penalty shot call where, so there's a penalty, right, on John for hooking. But then Strome got all the way in and had a full breakaway that was, like, unobstructed. So that one's an odd one to me of, like, you basically are getting two penalty shots, two breakaways, because usually when they call a penalty shot, like, you don't get a shot off, you're getting hauled down from behind, you get hooked, and you can't really execute your move on the breakaway. Well, this wasn't the case at all. Like, Strome, the penalty was taken, then Strome went in on a full breakaway. Chucky had to make two, basically, breakaway saves.
So, Coach, I thought it was very cool of you during the post-game celebration after the win over Anaheim where you acknowledged both Dewey and McElrath. You said, quote, the most important part of the effing game, Brandon Duhaime, Dylan McElrath, and part of that goes back to your last meeting with Anaheim, I think it was exactly a month ago, where Trouba took some liberties and you know, he hit Leno high. He misses seven games as a result. Trouba had to know that he was going to get into a scrap in the rematch, and Dewey obliged. I thought it was cool that you acknowledged that all the teammates, you know, like, gave those guys a standing ovation.
Yeah, big time. Those guys are warriors, and to do what they do and how hard they play and sticking up for their teammates is exactly what our team is about, and that's exactly what the foundation of how we operate is, looking after each other, and we lay it on the line. And so those two guys, and they do it on a nightly basis. So I was really proud of that and what that looked like. And the guys, like, the reaction is the best too, because you can tell how much, not every one of our players on our roster is going to go out and fight Jacob Trouba or Ross Johnston. But our guys that necessarily don't fill those roles are so appreciative of that. And what those guys do is, it was great to see.
All right, man.
Coach, good stuff. It's Coach Spencer Carberry. We'll talk to you next week.
Good luck tonight.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep,
thank you, Coach.
Coach, brought to you by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit cfaortho.com. Coming up next, we hit the skins and talk about potential.
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you, and then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Offensive coordinator replacements for Cliff Kingsbury.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. High noon in the District of Columbia. Shout out to the folks hanging out on the YouTube stream, 106.7 The Fan page. New cameras. That joint looks good.
It does.
We're going to the Rude guest hotline right away. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Talk to our friend, Mr. David Aldridge from The Athletic,
the
D.C.
The legend.
D.A., the Hall of Famer. What's up, dude?
Gentlemen, what's happening?
What up, D?
Things got busy all of a sudden for us, D.A.
I like it. It meets the alternative.
Sure does.
Yeah, you got to dip your toe into your old school, too, now.
Yeah. Let's start on the hardwood. Wizards trade for Trae Young. D.A., there's nobody that knows the association better than you. How surprised were you by this, or at least when you first heard of it, to kind of get into the finish line?
I was not surprised that it got done once it was obvious that Trae Young had an interest in the Wizards. I'm a little surprised that the Wizards went for it. Couple reasons. One is the obvious one. He doesn't fit anything in any way what they've put together the last 2 years. They've drafted Young, they've drafted Long, they've drafted guys that want to try to play defense. They want guys that can switch, play multiple positions, and Trae fits none of those categories. He's 6'2", 164. That is tiny. It's tiny in the NBA. He's not a good defensive player at all. He's just not. You can't. There's no way to spin it. He's not a good defensive player. Now, he's not any worse than C.J. McCollum was, but he's not good. Even more than that, though, guys, the thing that I just kind of scratch my head about is, these guys, for the first time over these last couple of weeks, we finally started to see these young guys really start to play well, like for real, like not BS playing against bad teams. They have played really good basketball against some, pretty solid teams. They beat Milwaukee twice. They beat Orlando the other night, and it was a blowout until they took their foot off the gas. They were up by 26 near the end of the third quarter. They beat Memphis twice. Like, they've played well. Sarr's been really good defensively. Trae Johnson's been really good offensively. And Koulibaly has been very good defensively and is actually starting to show a little offensive capability.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the first time you could actually see them start to kind of, hey, yeah, we're good. We can be good in this league. And now, almost by default, because you have to do it, you bring Trae Young in, well, everybody's going to defer to Trae Young because mm-hmm. he's a four-time All-Star. he is a very talented offensive player. He has dropped off a little from a couple of years ago, but he's still the best player they got on offense mm-hmm. by a lot. So he's going to have the ball in his hands all the time. Now he's their thought process is he can get the best versions of our players offensively through his gravity. And there's some truth to that. There is some truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
He will draw defenses. He will draw attention. He is a very good passer. He led the league in assists last year. He's averaged double-figure assists 3 years in a row. He will pass the ball. So he's not a selfish guy. But the ball's in his hands all the time. You know what I mean? They're not running him off of pin downs and he's coming up and taking jumpers. No, he's deciding what happens, right? Yeah. And so that just kind of goes against everything that they've been building up for the last couple of years. And the rationale is, well, we want to try to be a little more competitive next year. Okay. Because he ain't going to play at all the rest of this year, guys. He can, that's not happening. He ain't playing. I'm just telling you that right now. Don't expect to see Trae Young, you know, playing Friday night against the Pelicans. That's not happening. When he plays next year, though, they want to try to make a little run maybe at the play-in. Okay? Mm-hmm. I don't mind that. It's just a little odd. It's an odd fit to me.
Yeah.
That's all.
Is it an odd thing that could possibly work? I just look at him, the way he can shoot and pass, and Trey Johnson, the way he can shoot. The right. spacing that would have to be on the
Absolutely.
Court. Well, if
Absolutely.
You leave him wide, if you leave Trey Johnson yeah. wide open, you could have like a, what's my man, set the 3-point record back in the day.
Oh, Steph Curry.
Nah, before Steph.
Oh,
Ray
yeah,
Allen.
Miller,
he'd be
Ray
a Ray Allen type dude with all the wide open shots.
Yeah. No doubt. Yes. No, I get it. I get what they're saying. I mean, and that's all of that's true. He will get shots for Trey Johnson. Alex Sarr will feast off of his lobs. He's the best lob thrower in the league. There's nobody better at throwing a lob than Trey Young. He's the best. And he's really good at it. So Alex is going to get 3 or 4 lob dunks every game now. Because Trey is a great lob thrower. Keyshawn George, he's been the primary ball handler when he's been out there. Now he will be the secondary ball handler, which is probably what he should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't really want him to be the primary guy. You want him on the weak side. The ball comes to him, and now he's coming downhill on a 2-on-1 on the weak side. That's great. That's a green light. Like, that's good. You want that. So from that standpoint, yes, I think Trae Young can unlock a lot of their offense, which has been really, really bad, and we've seen it. If you've watched them this year, you know it's been a lot of CJ McCollum bailing them out late in the shot clock, and that's not what you really want, right? And so now you will get a lot more ball movement, you get a lot more scoring earlier in the shot clock, and there's nothing wrong with that. And good offense helps you win games, right?
Yeah.
It does. But it's just more of the philosophy of roster building,
mm-hmm.
and everything they've done for 2.5 years has been going in the same direction, and this goes in a very different direction.
Yeah, I agree with that. And my biggest concern, DA, and you know, smart people are telling me this shouldn't be that big of a worry.
Mm-hmm.
It's my understanding they have to stay in the bottom 4 of the NBA to guarantee they have their first round draft pick.
That's right.
In what's coming
up. That's why you're not playing this year.
And that's yeah,
exactly right. You'd be missed paying attention, JP.
He's always paying attention.
No, that's exactly right. So, yes, they have to finish with the bottom 4 to assure. It doesn't mean if they finish 5th, they won't get the pick. There means there's a not zero chance they won't get the pick. If they finish 1, 2, 3, or 4, there is no chance they won't keep their pick. They will keep their pick.
And so
there's
you're
no
confident
way they can't keep their pick.
They understand the mission here, right?
They understand the mission, yes.
Okay. All right. That's...
I think you can see, if you look at what Toronto did last year, well, I shouldn't say what Toronto did. This was the outcome, because I can't sit here and tell you this is what they did this. I can tell you they traded for Brandon Ingram. He did not play a second for them. They traded for him about the same time that this trade is going down. He did not play a second for them.
Okay.
He didn't play one game for the Raptors after he got traded there.
Mm.
And they wound up keeping their pick and picking 9th. You know? And so if you look at Philly last year, they had to keep their pick had to be top 6 for them to keep it. Otherwise, they had to give. I think it was Oklahoma City, of course, because Oklahoma City's in every trade. I'm pretty sure Philly went something like 5-31 the rest of the second half of the season.
Gotcha.
You know, Embiid didn't play, Maxey didn't play, nobody played. So I suspect I can't predict it. I can't guarantee it, but I think there will be some injuries down the stretch.
There you go. They understand the mission.
Re-aggravation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Talking with our friend David Aldridge here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give DA a follow at David Aldridge DC. Read all of his work in The Athletic. So before I switch to football, DA, you seem like you kind of lukewarm like this trade.
I would say that's fair, yes. Okay. I will call it lukewarm because I do understand they should, and if they keep the pick, assuming they keep the pick, they're going to add a really good rookie next year, right? So if they keep the pick, now you're adding a really good rookie from a loaded draft and Trae Young. That's not bad. And they still have almost $50 million in cap room after bringing Trae Young in. Because they had $80 million in cap room for next year. Now, Trae Young takes up about, I think it's 49
was the number.
40-some million of that. Yeah. So they're still going to have $25, $30 million in cap space to do something if they want to do it next year. So they could bring in a third player. They could. They may not, but they could. So I see that. So fairness dictates that we give that group a chance to play together and see how good they can be.
All right. I like it. Now we're switching over to football, right?
Yep.
You and I were there Monday night when Dan Quinn and Adam Peters addressed the media, and Adam Peters said he doesn't make coaching decisions. That's Dan Quinn. Less than 24 hours later, the reports came out that Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury were out. The Witt thing is a 0 out of 10 surprise. Mm-hmm. What was your level of surprise with Cliff?
I just have one question. Have they hired Mike McDaniels yet? That's all I need. I ain't got nothing else.
We were going there next.
there ain't no other issue here for me with this team right now. Was I surprised? A little bit. A little. I thought there would be some middle ground. It appears there wasn't any. You know, like, it seems to me that they asked Cliff, Dan asked Cliff if he could change the offense a little bit, put Jaden under center a little bit more, do some other things. Again, I think to mitigate the risk. Nobody is saying you can eliminate risk. It's football. It's violent. We understand that. But you can mitigate the risk. You can reduce the risk. And I think that's what they were saying. Look, let's see if we can you change your offense so that we reduce the potential of Jaden getting exposed to hits? And it seems like Cliff said, no, I can't. That's my offense. And they said, all right, well, then we can't go forward. That's what I think happened. I mean, until we hear something contrary, I think that's what happened.
In that type of situation, like, we watch it all over the world, man. Every business you out there, that you have out there, somebody asks you to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not the final say and you don't adjust, you're gone. Point blank.
Yeah exactly. Our business model changed a few years ago at The Athletic. It wasn't the model that I signed up for. Now I have two choices. I can say, well, this isn't what I signed up for. I'm leaving. Or I can say, all right, let me try to do it this way.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do it this way.
Yeah, me and JP right now talking to you on video and everything else. We didn't sign up for that.
Yeah. Things happen. Yeah. So, and I'm not mad at Cliff. If Cliff feels very strongly about his offense, which he should, by the way. It's worked at the NFL, at the highest level. It's worked. And frankly, I think Cliff realizes there are other opportunities. He could be a head coach in the NFL somewhere next year. He could. So I get it. I'm not mad at him. Sometimes people move on. And that's life. People move on. And again, have they hired Mike McDaniel yet? Because that's the only question that I have that matters right now with this football team.
How
that's the most obvious fix to a bad situation that you could possibly have.
Yeah, yeah. I we all kind of heard that throughout the year, especially when Miami was really struggling. Like, oh, man, McDaniel make a ton of sense here.
Right.
Then Miami gets hot late. They start really running the hell out of the football. And it seemed like McDaniel was going to hold on to that job
until
Baltimore fired Harbaugh.
That changed it. I think he's still the coach if Harbaugh doesn't get fired, right?
The chain reactions, man.
Totally agree with you.
Absolutely. Look, this is the most – I mean, this is so obvious, guys. Like, it's not – he is really – they are really good friends. He has said, Dan Quinn helped save my life.
Yeah.
This is a no-brainer. He's brilliant offensively. He runs Shanahan. He ran it. Look at what Miami did when they were at their best. Did Tua throw the ball a lot? Yeah, he did. Did they give the ball to Raheem Mostert a lot? Yes, they did. In fact, they had two backs, and they divided the labor, and it was a really good offense. Now they had Tariq Hill at his prime, taking the top off, and they, you know, so personnel wise they could do some things. But this is, man. Now maybe he gets another head coaching job, and then you can't
yeah.
keep him from a head coaching job. But I would certainly be throwing everything at him right now to come to D.C. to run this offense.
In 2023, McDaniel's best year in Miami, they were first in passing yards, sixth in rushing yards, first in the NFL in rushing touchdowns with 27.
Yep. Yeah.
If you want somebody to run the Shanahan zone blocking exactly. run scheme, he was the Niners run game coordinator for four exactly. years before exactly. he got the job.
Yeah, I mean, this is, and look, again, this isn't a poverty ask. You're asking, hey, do you want to come work with Jaden Daniels for the next 5 years? That's right. Not a bad, come on now, that's not a, we're not having a telethon for the Commanders right now. That's a pretty good gig. Mm-hmm. So, I think they got a great set. He knows Quinn. They are friends, not work friends, friends.
Yeah. Real life stuff.
And I think Dan is secure enough to understand. I'm always looking at how coaches do this. I got to hire somebody that's good enough to replace me if I really care about the team.
True.
And that would be Mike McDaniel, right? Mm-hmm. That, to me, that's what I would do if I were Dan Quinn and be secure enough to say, yeah, this guy's good enough. If it doesn't work and they fire me, they're going to hire him. Okay, I don't care. Let's do it.
Yeah. What, if any, concern do you have for Jaden with Tavita gone, Cliff gone? We'll see what other changes shake out.
I mean, I don't have as many as I think other people do. I think everything we know about Jaden Daniels is that he is a workaholic. He is a voracious film guy. He is at the park early, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, looking at tape. So why would we think he can't pick up an offense that half of the NFL runs, more than half of the NFL runs. See, we're not asking him to learn Russian. You know what I mean?
Like, you know, when I hear football players, like, I know you got different terminologies, but football is football. And if a guy got to just learn the terminology, I've heard enough about Jaden and I've watched him enough to know he's not going to have a problem with that.
I don't think I have any problem with it. There's a difference between having no problem with it and there being no adjustment. There will be an adjustment period. And it may take him half of next season to really feel comfortable in the offense. Okay. I think that's worth it for the potential payoff down the road, because this could be really good with him. If you get Mike McDaniel here teaching Jaden Daniels this offense, this could be really good. Really good.
I agree with you, DA. I think for Jaden operating in a different fashion. Do you agree with me here? Jaden and Marcus and other players on Monday when we were there for locker cleanout, they got asked about Cliff because the media is not dummies. We understand there's something brewing here, right?
Yeah.
And they all said, love Cliff, love working with Cliff.
Yeah.
But I believe Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, you may have even asked the question about Jaden's involvement in kind of what happens next. I think in absolute terms, whether it was Dan or Adam, they let Jaden know a change was coming. Do you agree with that?
Oh, sure. I would be shocked if you always let the best player know what's happening. Like, the best player should never be surprised by anything you do. He or she should know about that days or weeks in advance. Mm-hmm. Because that's the deference you pay to the best player on any team in any sport. I can't imagine he was shocked by it. Come on, that doesn't make any sense.
Agreed.
I think he knew about it. I think he and his camp liked Cliff Kingsbury and loved working with him? Absolutely. And they should have, because Cliff made it possible for Jaden to cook in the way Jaden can cook.
Mm-hmm.
and I get it. I'm not mad at them for having loyalty. I like people who are loyal. I like that. But this is big boy football. Coaches get fired. And now you have to work with another coach. That's what happens with everybody who plays in the NFL. You know?
It happens all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
D.A., last thing. Friday night, Derek Queen and the Pelicans coming to town. Trae Young, highly unlikely to be playing Friday night, if at all, right?
Right. Yeah, no, he ain't playing.
Is this
the Friday night next year?
The most... But the most juice for a Wizards home game without like Steph Curry or Giannis or without the juice being built by the other team.
Right, for the Wizards.
Because I even saw you had that tweet about one of the Wiz guys getting on, I think it was NBA TV post game.
Yeah, it was
like,
Star. There's
a little bit of buzz going.
Yes. Yes, there is. And I don't think it's going to stop because of the trade. It just has to go in a different direction now, I guess. But yeah, no, there is. Like, I think people, and I get it, like the Wizards, and they've earned a lot of the scorn. I get it, because they've been bad for the most, with one or two exceptions, the Wall years and you know, a couple of years of Gilbert. They've been a joke for 40 years. Like, they have been completely irrelevant to the NBA. So they've earned a lot of that scorn. But it's lazy to say, oh, same old Wizards. No, they're not the same old Wizards.
No,
they're not.
No.
They're not. Like, Michael Winger and Will Dawkins know what they're doing. And it may not work, but it's not because they don't know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And they have drafted pretty well, I would say, the last 3 years. The draft picks that they have, you know, because Sarr got clowned when he debuted in Vegas in the summer league last year. He was terrible. And people thought, oh, this is the worst pick ever. He's the worst, biggest bust in the history of the world. I don't hear that anymore now. Now he's blocking five shots against Orlando. You know, they're getting better. They have a chance.
Yeah.
Now whether it's Trae Young that ties it all together, or A.J. DeBonza that ties it all together, or Darren Peterson that ties it all together, or some other star player. I don't know, but these young guys are showing some signs, some real ones, that they know that they're pretty good, that they have a chance to be really good.
Appreciate you, D.A. Seriously,
all right, Dave.
Thanks,
appreciate
dude.
You, bro.
All right, guys. My pleasure, as always.
All right, man.
David Aldridge from The Athletic. Give him a follow at David Aldridge DC. Kind enough to join us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Bleep You Thursday coming up at 1 o'clock.
Herter looks. Plays it into Trae. 2 seconds, one. Trae's floater. Good!
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The Grant and Danny Show is brought to you every day by the law firm Condori and Murad.
Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Joe Varden covers the NBA for The Athletic. He is on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Joe, the Wizards nationally making headlines. Very rare around these parts that we get to talk about a splash move. But they've traded for Trae Young, C.J. McCollum, and Corey Kispert on their way to Atlanta. What'd you think of the deal?
I was going to ask you guys how people in Washington are feeling about it. And the reason is, look, I covered the Hawks' run to the Eastern Conference Finals in 2021. And Trae had a lot to do with that. So, you know, this discussion that the Hawks play better without him, well, that may be true now. It certainly wasn't always the case. But if I'm the Wizards, you know, I'm a Wizards fan because I believe that the Wizards organization has asked themselves these questions. But if I'm a Wizards fan, I'm wondering, is now the time to go get this guy? You know, as an organization, it probably behooves the team to be bad this year and hang on to that top eight protected pick. Trae doesn't immediately make this roster a playoff roster, but if he plays, you know, they're a better team. They're going to be better than they are now. And how good is that? So, yeah, I'm wondering about that. I'm wondering about the success possibilities of smaller guards in the modern game. I think you're seeing less and less of that. So that's a question. And then can Trae get away from the things that have led him to this path? You know, I mean, there was a time where he was a face of the franchise, and that team made it very deep. Why was that no longer the case? And you know, if it was, this trade wouldn't have happened. So Trae's got to ask himself some questions too.
From a basketball perspective, Joe, when he's on the court, because I think those factors you just mentioned were considered by this front office that I consider pretty smart in terms of, we might be too good with him on the court. So I bet you that quad is bothering him for a little bit longer and everything in between. But when he's on the court, they will be better, I think. Go into why you think that is.
Well, look, I mean, they don't have that dynamic playmaker that Trae is. I mean, he led the NBA in assists last year. And so now you have options to feed Sar, who is really having a nice year. Really like what's happening there with him. You know, they have some other talents that they're developing. And then, you know, he's an outside shooter. You know, good 3-point champion capabilities, you know, so somebody who moves the ball and gives you a better option to get it into some of these young bigs that you have, and then a floor spacer for sure.
Joe Varden covers the NBA for The Athletic, joining us on Grant and Danny. So we were talking earlier in the show to Bobby Marks of ESPN about this, and he surprised us a little bit. We asked Bobby, you know, is this a shorter term thing, whether that's this year, opt out, opts in next year, he's around and then leaves. He is of the belief there's a good chance they actually extend him. And he's coming here to be like a longer-term point guard option for them, which we were surprised by. What do you think about that?
Well, no, that doesn't surprise me. And I guess that's where I would – that's what I would mildly suspect here also. They want a star caliber player. They do. And when you get into the organizational rut that they've been in the last couple of years, that becomes harder. It becomes harder to do in free agency. And so this was a very low buy on somebody who does have four All-Stars under him. I kind of think that that's the case. I think that would be the reason that you would hear from Trey's camp that he wanted to go here. You know, I have some issue with this being his quote unquote preferred destination, preferred over what. But he clearly wants to be here. And if he were hoping to be a 1 year rental, I don't think that would have been the case. I think if you're a 1 year rental, you want to go somewhere where they're going to win right now. And that obviously wasn't the case. So, yeah, I think that there are a bunch of signs pointing towards an extension of some sort.
Joe Varden of The Athletic with us here on G&D, breaking down the Trae Young to the Wizards trade. So, Joe, the way I viewed it, and I want your opinion, instantly was this puts the Wizards over the salary floor for next year, so they don't have to go out and sign another Chris Middleton or another CJ McCollum or, you know, take on anything else. Gives them some flexibility to then move what would be an expiring deal if Trae Young opts in. But, I just want your reaction kind of to that. Regardless of the, hey, he might sign a long-term extension here, that's how I initially viewed this. And I said, that feels like pretty good three-dimensional chess to me, where they can be a player for the next disgruntled star in trade or have a huge amount of cap space coming off the books at the end of 27. Your thoughts there?
Yeah. You know, the thing about cap space is it still gets discussed. But if you look at what is happening around the league, A, cap space is a lot harder to come by. And then B, it doesn't get used the way that it used to. And that's mostly because it's easier for these mega stars to get more money with the team that they're already playing on. So when you to go back to what we were talking about earlier, and you're trying to say, well, how does this make sense for the Hawks to extend Trey? But that would be it. Probably if you're a market like Washington that doesn't currently have that star, the ways to get them are through the draft and via trades right now. And so that's what's happened here as long as Trey can live up to his end of the bargain. So I'm not as big of a proponent of the cap space side of this. Maybe as we used to be, you know, but they're clearly the Wizards are not done. They know that this is a lengthy rebuild. They're a little better this year than they were last year. You know, like I said, Sar is coming along well. They have some other pieces here that are interesting. But they need more. So, you know, we said about Trey's quad or whatever is bothering him now, like maybe that's going to bother him for a little while. Like I think that would behoove the Wizards to do that, you know, just you've been through this much pain, a couple more months could be worth it.
What do you think of the core that they're putting together here with Trae Young and then also without him? If you could kind of juxtapose that, mentioning Sar and Johnson and Keshawn George seems like a baller.
Yeah, I mean, to me, those, you know, Sar is my favorite player among those three. Keshawn George has had a nice year at times. You know, they were happy with Carrington last year. You know, Koulibaly, I mean, he's had some injury issues, but he's shown some promise as well. It's a long way to say that they're not done. Like, this is not, though, I'm not sure that the players you named that is their core. Now, it could turn out to be. But I think they're still building that. And, you know, what happens if you get that top three pick and now you add, you know, the Kansas kid or Boozer or DeBanza to this Wizards team? Well, that now we're talking, you know, do you add the next French star and so on and so forth? So I'm not. You know, I don't know if we have a core yet in Washington.
So, Joe, let's go down the scenario that Trae Young does sign an extension. Something I hadn't considered, frankly, before. Now it seems You think it's likely, and we had, as Grant mentioned, Bobby Marks on earlier, who said it was maybe in the probable category. What's the next step after that? Obviously, we're talking about whatever they get in the draft this coming year that's hopefully, you know, if not the best or second best player on their team going forward. What's kind of the next landscape of moves look like if he does sign an extension here?
You know, I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know, you know, from a roster building perspective, like what is the next obvious thing? You know, people were generally thinking about the 27 free agency class, but as we've just discussed, like those moves don't work out like they used to. So how the Wizards rebuild in a sort of a period of transition in the league where teams are readjusting to how they roster build based on the second apron salary rules, leaves one to question, like, will there be fewer obvious free agency opportunities in what the average analysts would consider more attractive markets or more successful markets, which would allow a team like the Wizards to get better faster by being able to make signings like that. I mean, they're going to have the space, so that's a positive. But, you know, how much money do you give these players who can't get it in their home markets? I don't know.
Joe Vardon, you can check out his work in The Athletic. We'll let you out on this one. Specific to this season and Trae Young possibly being shut down, do you expect him to play a bunch the rest of this year? And I guess how confident should we be that Washington doesn't end up missing out on this top eight protected pick?
I say, you asked me if I'm confident that he's going to sit. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I mean, they could decide that they want to see what this looks like with Trey in an offense with some of the other players that we've just mentioned. They may want to know. You know, we all think, well, maybe not you guys, but Bobby and I certainly, and we're not alone, like think that there's going to be an extension, but perhaps the Wizards need to see this first. So, you know, they when we talk about like what the Wizards should do and what they have done, they went for it in quotations last year. They were bad. They were really bad. And they got hosed in the draft lottery. Mm-hmm. So are they willing to go through that again? I don't know, but you know, the better they get now, it brings in falling to ninth, is more of a possibility, and in that event, then you lose the draft pick altogether. So this is the best I can say is it will be fascinating to see how this plays out, because there is going to be intrigue for how this looks. The Wizards are probably tired of not having a player that you just hands down put money out to go see play, and you know they do need that draft pick.
Joe, great to catch up with you, buddy. Appreciate the time, man. Good insight.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7, The Fan. The Wizards are the talk of the town, man. Big trade going down with Trae Young coming to town, dude. When we first started hearing about this, I think everybody was like, man, ain't no way Trae Young is coming to D.C. And give it a couple days, man.
When I saw him, when I heard it, then I saw him yesterday saying it would be his first place. Like, okay, this could happen.
The truth is stranger than fiction.
And
as
I was driving home last night, I'm like, damn, it happened.
All right, our boy CJ Holmes is joining us now via the Rude Guest Hotline to help us make sense of this thing. CJ, senior NBA writer for the New York Daily News. CJ, what's up, dude? How are you, buddy?
What's going on, y'all? Sounds like we got a new point guard in the district, huh?
Yes, we do.
Can we start with how the hell did this happen that the Wizards – the Wizards are in the middle of this 3 to 100 year rebuild, and Trae Young decided he wanted to come here.
You know, this is no indictment of my beloved Wizards, but I don't think the phrase "Wizards are Star's preferred destination" has ever been uttered in like the history of the league. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, all this kind of came together really quickly, right? You know, the Wizards are a team that, you know, they've been tanking this year, or at least they've, you know, defaulted in the tanking this year. I thought they came into the year trying to be competitive, but, you know, the situation's situation. And you didn't really think that they were going to go star chasing, but, you know, here they are. You got a four-time All-Star in Trae Young falling into your lap right now. It's a little bit of an odd move, mm-hmm. but then again, you know, hats off to the Wizards front office. They just went from, Jordan Poole. Oh, no, they went from Bradley Beal to Jordan Poole to Chris Paul to,
they just keep flipping them.
Yeah, to the cat who they just traded
CJ McCollum.
To CJ McCollum, to Trae Young while stockpiling assets along the way. I mean, that's just like masterful work by the Wizards front office. And now they got a pretty big piece that they can either build around or try to flip again down the road.
Could that be the whole thing of it, the front office? And, I mean, they have a reputation of being damn good at what they do. And also, a lot the stars around the league know who those guys are. You know, can that be what's making it a little different than it was in the past?
I think it's just a little bit of a push to make the Wizards a little more competitive in the immediate term, right? You know, of course, Trae is hurt. I think he's been limited to like 10 games this season. But
is he actually hurt, or does he just hate Atlanta?
I'm sure the truth is somewhere in the middle, Jesus. you know, this way, you know, obviously we don't know when Trae is going to be on the court for the Wizards. He is due for a new contract, but I don't think there's any rush to negotiate that because, you know, guys, the Wizards lottery pick is top 8 protected. So I don't think that this team is necessarily in any position to try to win this season. But when you're looking into next season, you know, you could potentially have, you know, Trae Young, right? You have that top 8 pick if things fall out correctly. You got Trey Johnson, 19, Bilal Coulibaly, 21, Tyshawn George, 22, Alex Sarr, 20. I mean, that's a pretty good young core, right? And that positions the Wizards to be competitive next season.
Yeah. So here's my thing, though, for the Wiz. Everything is about this long-term rebuild. This upcoming draft is supposed to be one of the best ever, right? I mean, there's a ton of major candidates, right?
Right.
If they right now, the Wiz are the fourth worst team in the NBA, I believe, and they've got to be bottom 4 to keep a guarantee of the top 8 in the lottery, and that's how their pick is protected. Are they actually trying to win games now? Like, what needs to be the priority? It's cool to get Trae Young, but then you're not going to have a first-round pick, possibly. Are you? I guess they have the Thunder's pick, which is probably going to be like 28.
I mean, that's the thing, JP. I don't think the Wizards are in any rush to win this season. I think this is a next-season move.
Because if he's hurt, they don't have to play him.
Because, like I said, Trae's hurt right now. There's no indication when he's coming back to the floor. You know, this will probably be one of those situations where recovery takes a little longer than a lot of people think, right? But, you know, here's what a lot of people have been talking about, right? Like, even if Young's on the court, like, you know, depending on which Trae Young you're getting, it's kind of a built-in tank, right? It's an ethical tank. You know, as talented as Young is offensively, great shooter, master distributor, led the league in assists just last season. Young's a defensive liability on a young team that, you know, although the Wizards have been hot in recent games, overall, the body of work on a young team that has struggled at that end of the court, he's a high usage player. And, you know, that could stunt some of these young guys' growth this year, right? And we all know Trae likes to jack him up. He can shoot you out of games. So I guess the vision is, you know, if Trae's going to be on the court for, you know, extended stretches this year, you know, it's kind of a built-in ethical tank. Trae's going to get his numbers, right? But at what cost? At what efficiency, right? And the Wizards might find themselves losing games anyway. But overall, it's a short-term rental, right? Young could opt out after 2006 of no after 2026 if no contract is reached, if the fit is poor. So, you know, they didn't give up much to get him. I think it's a win-win situation for Washington.
You make that sound kind of good. Built-in ethical.
I love that line. I'm actually tweeting it out right now. Do you think Trey would opt out and try to get free agency even with $50 million guaranteed on the table?
I mean, likely no, but maybe yes, right? You know, it's one of those things, like, think about what the Wizards did with Jordan Poole, right? You bring in Jordan Poole, you know, you let him get his shots up, you let him kind of, like, recoup some of that value, and then you flip him for something down the road, right? Trey's in control of his own future, too. Yeah, $50 million is a lot to leave on the table, but, you know, if the guy's supremely, you know, confident in himself and thinks that, you know, he can now go join a contender after repairing his reputation a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could totally see that happening too.
That's crazy, man. Very, very interesting stuff going on. Our friend CJ Holmes joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC equipment in the DMV. You can read CJ's work in the New York Daily News, covering all things hoops in New York and across the association, covering the Nets. What do you think it's the dude Schlenk that is on the Wizards front office is the reason why Trey wanted to come here?
Yeah, that's probably a big part of it. I do know that front office official in Washington, I believe that he was involved in Trey going fifth overall to the Hawks. And, you know, when a guy's going to a new situation, as much as they need a change of scenery, sometimes having some sense of familiarity, you know, helps with that transition. So at least Trey is now coming to an organization where, you know, he already has, you know, some rapport with someone in the front office. And, you know, I guess the hope is, yeah, that helps the transition. And, you know, he arrives somewhere where he actually knows someone.
I wanted to sneak two other things in non-Trey Young related. You covered the whole league. I know you covered the Warriors for years. Steve Kerr came out and said, we are a fading dynasty. We know that. Everybody knows that. Is it weird for you to see where the Warriors – I mean, all dynasties come to an end. Do you feel like that's what's happening in Golden State?
Man, the Warriors were here in Brooklyn on the 29th of December, and, you know, that boy 30 doesn't look like he's missing much of a beat at his advanced age. But, you know, one thing I'll always give Steve credit for is keeping it real. And, you know, Steve Kerr has never been shy to say what we're all thinking, right? He's very upfront in that way. And I'm not surprised to hear it because it's the dead truth, man. It started with Clay leaving for Dallas. You know, these draft picks, these high draft picks that the Warriors had through the years, James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, and now Brandon Podziemski. You know, these guys were supposed to be the bridge that led the Warriors out of the Steph Curry twilight years into the future. But, you know, these guys aren't, you know, developing at the pace that the Warriors thought, right? And on top of all of that, you know, the Warriors are one of those teams where they're never bad to have a lottery pick. At least in recent years, they're not bad enough to, you know, have one of those high lottery picks for a true rebuild. So it's been a little tough, but, you know, the truth of the matter is, Steph's getting up there, Draymond's getting up there, and you know, they have far, far, far less time ahead of them than they do behind them. And yeah, man, all good things come to an end. And yeah, you know, the Warriors are even struggling right now. I think they're, you know, like, struggling to stay in the playoff picture, 500 team. You know, they're one of those franchises that, of course, they're always one big move away. You know, maybe it's an Anthony Davis or something like that, but they're always one big move away from being back in the conversation. But that thing's widened down in Golden State, and everyone needs to accept that.
And other teams are getting better.
Yeah, totally.
On top of it.
Last thing, CJ, I wouldn't bring you on the program without giving you a chance to talk about the team that matters most to you, the Burgundy and Gold. What do you make of the coordinator departures?
I'm not surprised. You know, obviously Cliff was a hot commodity, head coaching commodity at the end of last season, decided to come back this year. But with all of Jaden's injuries and, you know, the dysfunction of Terry McLaurin and, you know, the receiving core and just the injuries across the roster overall. I mean, that offense was a shell of itself this year. And, you know, mutually parting ways was the verbiage they used, in, you know, with Cliff. And it kind of makes sense, man. I mean, that guy has to, you know, go chase an opportunity while he can, you know, stay hot, I guess. So, you know, good for Cliff. I'm glad he's able to come to Washington and kind of, you know, restructure his value, you know, much like Trae Young is doing now, right? But, you know, best of luck to Cliff. I got the chance to cover him when I covered the Arizona Cardinals back in the day. Solid guy, great offensive mind. And, you know, I hope that, you know, if it's not a head coach in the NFL this cycle, you know, maybe can stick on at the college level again and, you know, have great success. Terms of Joe Witt Jr., man, they should have launched that brother into the sun. They should have launched that brother into the sun, man. I wish him and his family the best, but that product he put out there on the field this year was absolutely atrocious. It was atrocious, man. And I don't know, you know, in terms of, you know, who can replace these guys. Obviously, there's a lot of big names, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, once we get through the playoffs, we'll see what other, you know, hot hirings and firings are made. I have no idea who's going to fill these positions, but I do know that Dan Quinn's job is on the line. And, you know, the success of this next wave of coordinators is going to really, really say a lot about Dan Quinn's future in D.C.
Yeah, man, I actually just wrote a story that's like, all right, DQ, now all the pressure's on you because GMs don't get fired at nearly the same rate coaches do, and 2 years in, you're now 500. You just had to redo your staff. You better get it right, man. CJ, I know how busy you are. You're covering probably 100 basketball games a year. How many Commanders games do you go to this year?
Let's see. This year, I went to the home opener against the Giants. Giants game. I'm to about 3 this year.
Okay, that's down for you, man. Maybe next year you'll be more motivated. They start winning again. Thank you for the time, bro.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother.
That's our guy CJ Holmes, New York Daily News. You can read his work. You can give him a follow at Holmes Scribe. When we come back, we just got major news from the NFL. Another coach has been fired, and this one might directly relate to Washington. Nobody go anywhere.
Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, brought to you by our friends at Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Main Street Bank's a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. We're happy to be joined in studio by Tom Arnold. He is at the DC Comedy Loft tonight and tomorrow. Two shows each night.
Tom, you joked about your four marriages, your four weddings. Would you consider a fifth?
I haven't had a date.
Hold on, we got to turn your mic on. Hold on.
Hold on. 1 second. Is he at the wrong mic or?
That's it's the same just, one. Just swap it out because that cord's broken, I think.
All right, hold on.
It's not your fault.
The mic is
the is it
awful.
From being pulled too much?
Probably,
there?
Yeah, the XLR.
Is it better now? Is it better now?
Yeah, okay. Now
I can do the other one. Hold on, Tom.
I think we can hear it.
That's the producer.
No, no, it's this one.
Off. We're in trouble.
All right, there. That one's
sorry
broken.
Sorry about that.
No, it's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
No, good. Thank you.
But it might not reach here. We got an issue.
They're all needed. I'll do whatever has to be done.
All right, there you go. Hey. Try that.
So I asked you if you would consider a fifth marriage because you've been married four times.
Yeah. Have been on Rosie. A date yeah. Years?
No, haven't. I'm a single dad with a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old. I'm not sure they would, you know, my 12-year-old son's very, you know, if he sees
would
be nice to you. Yeah.
Type of thing.
But also their mom, you know, it's public record, is so crazy. You know, she swats us and does things like that.
No
way. I don't know if, yeah, you could Google it.
What does that mean?
That means she calls the police. I'm home asleep with the kids. She says, his name is Tom Arnold.
He's right trying there to kill us or something.
Yeah, he's very violent. He has a lot of guns and worried about the kids. And
so the cops come and it's a life-threatening situation. Yeah.
Yeah, and I meet him outside. I say, call your supervisor. You've been here a lot and the kids are fine. I'm not waking them up and I got no guns. And then the cops leave and I have to wake up the kids. Kids, we got to hide the freaking guns, man. That really happened. That really happened. Uh-huh. While I was ruining everything. But no, I have a single mom friends. Yeah. And I assume that my date will start with a play date. Kids the same age. the mom and I were at a park. It's my dream scenario. The mom turns to me and goes, "You want to have sex behind the dumpster?" I'm like, "I do." It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
Did you ever dabble with the apps?
No, no.
Yeah, Tinder.
No, my assistant put me on the one Bumble.
Yeah,
because Sharon Stone was on there, and right. But Sharon got kicked off. They thought she was fake.
Oh,
but
really?
She had a lot of dates.
Well, what's the one that only dates. Like the rich and famous?
Yeah, Raya. A buddy of mine helped create that.
But a buddy of yours did?
That's Mike McGinnis. But
you have to have a certain level of success, a certain level of coolness, so they don't let you on.
Right. You have to be a rich guy.
Right.
And then the women is to find rich guys.
Uh-huh. Right,
you know?
Right.
And but no, it's complicated. First of all, you have to have 5 pictures of yourself that you like. So that right there took me out. But people do the apps. You know, people do the apps.
In terms of being on the road, do you still love being on the road? There must be a part of you that loves this.
Yeah, it's fun. I feel grateful people come out. And this is my first real tour in many years. Mm. And what I wanted to do is I want to talk about my life now, what it's really like, you know, with the 4 ex-wives, little kids. And so I put... You know, I worked for 3 years, go to the improv comedy store to build, you know, to make at least half of my set.
How does that work when you want to go there? Do you, like, someone like you that's established, you just say, "Hey, I'm going to come up and just do 5 minutes"?
Yeah.
And they just let you, no matter what,
or
they find it.
10 or
whatever.
Five. Yeah.
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 No problem.
Yeah. In the old days, you had to audition for Bud Friedman or Mitzi Shore. Right. Now comics run the hours. They'll give a comic 90 minutes. They'll book the acts. Mm-hmm. And they take the door, and so you just look, and you'll see great comics. I love going there. Mm-hmm. I'll see all these other great comics that are, you know, that I forget that.
Can I tell you your favorite? You've done so much. I don't know. What was your favorite movie that you ever did?
I've been in 150 movies, four good ones. And people like True Lies.
Yeah,
9 months.
That, to me, I think was the one. Yeah. True Lies, the one with Schwarzenegger.
Yes. That was good.
You stole that movie.
That's true.
I mean, it's true.
No,
right?
Yeah.
Well, were you originally
Jamie Lee Curtis wasn't bad either.
Yeah.
No, but were you originally intended to be as big a role, or how did that just blossom? Everyone just, you stole the movie.
I heard that Jim Cameron was directing a movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jamie Lee Curtis. They're looking for the third guy. They're meeting real actors. I had zero shot to get that movie. Mm-hmm. My agent called one day and said, "Jim Cameron wants to meet with you." And I said, "That's BS. It's a mercy meeting," which it was.
Yeah.
William Morris was called his office, said, "Please be with this guy. We know you're not going to cast him, but it'll make him think we're working for him."
Uh-huh.
So I went down there. Jim Cameron's a great guy. You know, he's a 6'3", Robo Canadian, not like another director. And so he shoots the crap for a minute. He's like, "Do the scene." I go, "I didn't even read the scene." He goes, "What?" I go, "Because I know I'm not getting the movie. It seems like it'll hurt less if I don't even try."
Right.
So he's like, "Well, it's 3 pages. So I read it one time, and he's like, "Huh?" And he yells, "Get Arnold down here." Except his voice is better. He yells, "Get Arnold down here." I didn't know Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the building. And all of a sudden, we see him walking down the stairs. And Jim said he cast me because while we're watching Arnold, I said, "I could take him." You know, it wouldn't be easy, but I'd have to hit him low. Then Arnold came up, we did it, and it was great. And he said, "You got the part."
Wow.
You know,
that was awesome.
But you have to wait 2 weeks to tell anyone. And I'm like, "I swear to God, I won't tell anyone for 2 weeks." I go to my car, call everyone.
Everybody in Iowa.
But the reason I had to wait 2 weeks is he had to leave that meeting and go to the top of the Fox Tower. You know, it's a Die Hard tower in the movie Die Hard.
That's a Fox Tower.
Yeah.
Nice.
Go up there, top floor. The bigs are up there, you know, the board of directors, the CEO, the president of films, and give them the good news. By the way, it was the most expensive movie ever made at the time.
Wow.
So a lot of the lines. So he goes up there. "I found the third guy. We can start filming True Lies." They're like, "That's fantastic news, Jim. Who is it?" He's like, "It's Tom Arnold." They're like, "That is horrible news, Jim Cameron." He said, why do you say that? And they go, "Don't you read the tabloids? He's a crazy person." And Jim's like, "No, I don't read tabloids, but I wrote this movie, and he's the guy." And they're like, "We're very sorry, Jim. We cannot approve Tom Arnold.
I don't know if you
movie.
Guys remember.
Wow.
He stole that.
I haven't
movie.
Seen it forever, but I do remember him being great.
Yeah.
So they said,
was Jamie Lee?
She was great.
She was good too.
But they said they can't approve me. And Jim's like, "I'm the one who's sorry because I wanted to make the movie here with you guys. Now I'm going to drive down the street and make it at effing Paramount." And they're like, we'll give him a chance. So he, you know, he went to bat for me, which is crazy. But yeah, it was great fun. I had no idea how big of a deal it was. You know, I got to ad lib a lot. What's a
massive movie that you were in and maybe had a small role that we don't even realize you were in?
Was I in Austin Powers? I think I was in.
Oh.
There's one scene, but people remember that scene. And you could do a movie for 5 months and nobody gives a damn. But
How many times have you done movies where they actually cut you out?
Has
that happened
to you?
Are you a big star?
It's been a while. Here's what I do lately. Low-budget horror movies. Because the fans are so loyal, you could side stuff at Comic-Cons and make money.
Is that true?
Yeah. The last Comic-Con I did, the woman next to me was in The Exorcist, the original one, for 17 seconds. And she had a line around the thing.
17 seconds.
Yeah.
What was her character?
Yeah. I forget. But I said, I got to do more of those so I can sell stuff. Now, here's the true story. They offer me movies. First thing I say is, how do I die? I always die in them. Okay? And I only work one day. And they try to do 50 pages in one day, but they try to put me throughout. So I got an offer. The movie's called Dragpires. And I go, how do I die? Well, one of the drag queens pulls off your penis. I go, okay. If it's my real penis, I need more money. So I go there, show up, I go to the director, where's the penis? Because I want to have a thousand of them made so I can sign it at the thing. He's like, well, your agent said you didn't want to do it. So we're pulling your throat out. And I'm like, no, I'm doing the penis thing for sure. You know, that's a pays off in the future.
It's actually genius.
He's
thinking about the marketing possibilities later.
Yeah.
Which of the shows do you still get, what do they call that?
Residuals
from?
Oh, a lot of them.
Really?
Yeah.
And is that heaven? Is it big or are they small?
Sometimes it's surprisingly big. But, you know, because I wrote Roseanne too, you get more for the Writers Guild.
Wow.
But it's something. A normal person could probably live on it.
Right?
They did a Roseanne reboot, right? I really didn't see it.
Yeah.
Maybe they called the Connors or something like that.
Yeah.
She, you weren't involved.
No. Let me tell you.
Reboot?
No, she's kidding.
I don't even think Roseanne was part of it.
Well, she did the first season. It did unbelievably well. It was the number one show. But, you know, I don't think they checked her social media before they did it. Because she'd been, you know, like she wrote a letter to every member of Congress saying that John McCain was a traitor. Like, she's that person. So she came time, and what she did was she told the Trump people, I'm going to be all Trump.
Uh-huh.
Then she told the other people, no politics.
Right.
So the weekend before the second season started, the writers are coming in. She did that racist joke, I guess, and she sabotaged herself.
Right.
Because she couldn't face the, you know.
Who was behind the national anthem idea?
Well, okay. Somebody told her she could sing, you know.
And so that was an honest attempt?
Well, God doesn't give you all gifts.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's good on the show. She's a good writer. And so she wanted to do it at Dodger Stadium.
Right.
And I said, I could win. I was trying to protect her from herself. I said, let's do it in San Diego, where if it goes wrong, no one will ever hear about it.
Yeah. Right.
And so she went out there, and, you saw what happened. So, and then I had to throw out the first pitch afterwards. And the guy came up with the ball. He's like, you probably get the hell out of here, buddy. I go, yeah, I do. After I throw out this first pitch, because I'll never be allowed to stadium again.
How was your first pitch?
It's pretty good. I've had a few. It's pretty good. But, so then we get on the plane, 20-minute flight from San Diego. I think it's over. Yeah, it's fine. In fact, she's like, oh, my God, that was so bad. I go, no, they were booing. I go, no, you never been to a baseball boo. But that's a sign of endearment.
Right.
Boo, pal. And I had her convinced.
You're trying to be a good husband.
Yeah, but when we landed, the president of the United States at the time had been watching it with the owner of the team and said it was a disgrace to America. It was during Operation Desert Storm.
Was that Bill Clinton? Who was that?
No, George.
So that was a Bush. She was making an honest, that was an honest attempt at it.
Yeah, yeah. And she thought they think it was funny. And she grabbed her crotch and spit.
Oh,
you know.
That's a disaster.
But it's a dangerous song. And we were at war. We were either at war or about to go to war.
Right.
So, but George H.W. Bush, I went on Johnny Carson and slammed him. And the next day, I see Maria Shriver. She's like, I saw you talk about the president. That's pretty rough. I go, he doesn't watch Johnny Carson. She goes, I bet he does. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't care what I say. I bet he does. And I said, do you have a piece of paper? And I wrote him a note because she has his address. I'm sorry. Of course, there's First Amendment, but I wasn't funny. Those jokes were funny. They were mean. Anyway, appreciate you. Give it to him. 48 hours later, a Secret Service agent comes to my house with a handwritten note, which I still have on my wall, from the President of the United States, that said, you can do whatever you want. Jerry Weintraub says you're a great guy. He's probably the only other Jew he knew in Hollywood. But he said, would you join Barbara and I for dinner this next week?
That.
And So I've never said anything bad about any of the bushes.
Where are you going to be?
Okay. Yeah. Comedy, what is it called? The Loft? Comedy Loft?
Yeah. DC Comedy, Comedy Loft.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, guys. Yeah.
And who's opening Loft for you?
Max Mizell.
Max Mizell. Look at him.
Yeah. Good little guy. He played in Syracuse, believe it or not. I've seen the film.
Lacrosse? What'd you play?
I was a punt returner.
Yeah.
Oh, you punt returner.
Backup punt returner. He gets crushed.
I don't know.
You see video of him crushed?
He gets crushed. He's got his video clips, you know, the YouTube.
That's pretty cool.
It's very cool. Very cool.
That's awesome.
All right, so how do they get tickets?
How do you get tickets back?
DCComedyLoft.com.
There you have it.
All right. That it?
DCComedyLoft.com.
Thank you guys very much.
He's got two shows tonight.
Carry your back.
And you're
two
shows tomorrow. I know he's got to go.
That's the great Tom Arnold here on the Junkies.
George Mason's won six in a row. They're 15-1. They're 3-0 in the A-10. They sit atop the A-10 standings. This is the best start in school history, not only overall record, but also in conference at 3-0. They're 11-0 at home this year. 43-5, by the way, at home under Tony Skin in Fairfax. And tomorrow they've got a huge conference showdown with VCU, 12 p.m. Eagle Bank Arena in Fairfax. The head coach of George Mason is Tony Skin. He's with us right now. You know, I'm curious as to whether or not you do what sometimes fans do with their teams, which is if you're not in the top 25, you check to see others receiving votes, which is what I did before you came on to see why George Mason, or if you were getting votes in the AP or the coaches poll, and you haven't yet. Do you look for that? Is it important? And why haven't you gotten those votes at 15-1 yet?
Yeah, you know what? To be honest with you, I don't look. You know, I'm a glass half full type of guy. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, man, you know, all these games matter. The most important thing for us is VCU tomorrow. And, you know, we're just going to try to continue to play good basketball. And hopefully it happens. If it happens, that's great for us. If it doesn't, to be, you know, 15-1 in January, mid-January, it says a lot. And that's not normal. And that's really just the parameter and the metric that matters most.
Agreed, but on some level, Coach, doesn't it help if you start to get that recognition nationally?
It does. It does. But, you know, as you know, there's just so many levels to, you know, being at the top 25, right? And we've got so many other metrics like KenPom, like the net. Yep. I'm constantly watching that. And if you're doing what you need to do and you're, you know, right where you need to be with KenPom and the net, typically that translates into being in the top 25.
KenPom right now, 84, net 77. Just out of curiosity, is VCU quad one or is that a quad two win if you get it tomorrow?
It's a quad. I believe it's a quad two. I haven't checked and updated what they're, you know, since their St. Louis loss. But, you know, home loss against one of the better teams in our league, one of the better teams in the country. I don't think it changes where they've been, but it's a quad two.
All right, tell me about your team this year. It was a big turnover from what you had last year. For those that haven't watched George Mason this year, why are you 15-1?
Man, I think it's the individuals that we have in that locker room. Again, you talk about a phenomenal season that we had last year, and to be able to just lose different guys due to graduation, due to the portal, and then to bring in 11, 12 new guys, you know, you're going to be uncertain about your team like every other coach in America. But I think our staff, we did a phenomenal job in just getting the right kids in our locker room. There's so much to learn. And if you don't have the right individuals that are just coachable, that are committed, it makes it so hard to take the necessary steps to win these games. And these guys have been, I mean, they've been committed from day one. We've battled injury. You know, we battled some adversity. And these guys have just never folded, and so credit to them.
Last year, for those that don't remember, Mason was in the A-10 championship game. in D.C. against VCU. It was a hell of a final. VCU won it, went on to the NCAA tournament. George Mason went on to the NIT and got a win in the NIT last year. What will, you know, sometimes with the A-10, it will come down to the tournament. How do you ensure that it doesn't come down to the tournament between now and the early portion of March when the A-10 tournament gets underway in a one-and-done?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, to be sitting here 3-0 in conference, it feels good. And, you know, that's kind of the direction we have to continue to take.
Winning the regular season conference.
Yeah, winning the regular season conference, that's not going to be easy. You know, you've got a chance at home to take care of business against a quad two team like a VCU. Those games are so, so important. And again, it's the landscape is so much different than what it once was, right? You know, the A-10 has been historically a multi-bid league, and, you know, you do what you need to do in a non-conference, and, you know, you win 12, 13 games in conference play. You get to, you know, your conference tournament, maybe you win one or two games there. But it's just so much unknown right now with the way this thing goes. And, you know, for me, like I said, to start this thing, I'm a glass half full type of guy. And we've just got to be able to take care of business one game at a time and, you know, let the cards fold whenever they do.
You know, I've asked other college basketball coaches this, that especially in this day and age of portal and rosters changing so significantly year to year, when do you have a really good idea of what your team is? I would imagine it takes a lot longer.
I mean, honestly, I'm not going to give you coaches speak. You don't.
You don't ever.
Yeah, I can only speak for my group. You know, obviously, when I took the job in year one, we were able to keep one player from the Kim English team. And I thought we did a pretty good job in recruiting the right talent. And I thought we were going to be solid. But there was so much of an unknown between the guys that you didn't know. And obviously, for me, as a first-year head coach, there was just so much uncertainty. Now you fast forward to year two, I felt so much more confident about that team because – you know, Jalen Haynes sat out for us in year one, so he was going to be a good player for us. And he had an all-conference guy in Darius Maddox. You know, you knew exactly who Jared Billups and Woody Newton were. And so that core, I was confident about that core. And that's the reason we were able to schedule and get games, you know, at Marquette, get the Duke game, because I knew that team. But in this landscape, when you lose that and you have to revisit and recruit 11, 12 guys, you don't know. You lose 91% of your production. And then your best player on paper, Braden O'Connor, who's your first teamer, you know, he gets hurt in the first half of your first game. You really don't know what to expect. And that's why I'm continuing to give this group, you know, the flowers that they deserve, just because they've always stayed together. They can compete at a high level. And, you know, it's been the most coachable group I've had thus far since being at Mason.
When it takes you so long, if ever, to figure it out, how many times do you have to change the way you coach the team stylistically? Like, you may have a vision going into the season. We're going to be a team that wants more possessions, and it may evolve into something else. When do you start to figure it out from that standpoint? Or is that also something you don't figure out and you just go game by game?
No, you know, again, I think it's a combination of both. You know, I've said it all season long. Our defensive identity is not going to change. We haven't exactly been exactly who I wanted us to be defensively. I think we're getting better, but we've also been a much, much better offensive team. And so putting a little bit more emphasis on who we are on both sides has been something that I've had to grow into a little bit more because, you know, again, you know, we've been hard-nosed, defensive. You look at all the metrics in the first 2 years, we've been right there. We've been right there as one of the better teams defensively in the country. Not so much this year, but somehow, some way, we're 15-1. And so, you know, it's a melting pot of just being able to adjust to your personnel. And this group, like I said, I've said it before, you know, we've got, you know, 8 or 9 starters. And if you look at the way Stoss played the other night against Rhode Island, you know, at LaSalle, you know, maybe it's 9 or 10 starters. And so having that balance, being able to go deep down our bench, it's the luxury that a lot of teams don't have this, you know, especially in January when you kind of figured out your rotation. And so these guys have been phenomenal.
Hanging, we're talking to Tony Skin, the head coach of George Mason. They're 15-1, best start in school history. Remember, this is a school with a history of actually going to the Final Four, a team in which Tony Skin played for back in 2006. So, you know, I'm just looking at the KenPom differences between defensive efficiency last year and this year. Last year, you were 31st. This year, you're not. You're at 79th. And what this is what you feel is your identity, you know, as a coach to a certain degree. So can you get it between now and the end of the year to where you want it defensively? And what does that look like, Coach?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's details matter. We say it all the time. And as these guys are learning, these guys all came from different places. So there's so much they had to learn, so much they had to adjust to. The demand is a lot more because, again, certain programs emphasize certain things. And for us, you know, you watch some of our games, you know, we're one possession away from, you know, taking away a three. You know, we're, you know, one possession away from having, you know, multiple kills, which is three kills, three stops in a row. All those little things where, you know, we're watching the film, we're seeing it, we're playing really hard, really, you know, for the first 20, 22 seconds, we're doing a hell of a job. And then one thing happens, the last 8 seconds of a possession, and it's the difference maker in a game. One possession matters. And again, when we can just tighten that up and take one of those possessions out, you know, there's 6 seconds left on the shot clock and the guy doesn't have his hand up and you just let a guy tee up a three. At this level, you're going to play against really, really good players that can make that shot. And so we've seen signs of it. We've had doses of it. But again, this is a new group and we're going to continue to get better. And I think we're right there where we need to be.
You know, I asked somebody you coached for a couple of years ago, Kevin Willard, I asked him a question about teams that have a difficult time scoring, which your team is not having a difficult time scoring this year. But when you have a team like he had a couple of years ago that really struggled to score and he wants to emphasize defense, isn't it a lot easier or not to get your teams to defend consistently over 40 minutes when you're scoring?
Well, I'll say this, you know, it's hard to be really, really good at both. If you're really, really good at both, you'll be playing in April, right? And so for me, it's always been just being defensive minded enough to just be tough enough to be in games. If you're guarding, at the end of the day, you know, the defense is going to keep you in a game, whether you have an off night or a great night shooting the basketball, right? And so from a defensive standpoint, if you look at all our games since we've been here, you know, we've been right there in all our games. I mean, I'll take it back to even last year when we went to Duke. I believe the halftime score was 25-16. We couldn't score, you know, but Duke couldn't either, you know, obviously. And then Duke just started doing Duke things down the stretch in the second half. But again, for us, you know, we're going to have to live and die by the way we guard. And that's the most important thing for us. And we're going to need it tomorrow night against a VCU team that's got, you know, five or six guys that can really score the basketball.
So let's talk about the game. What are the keys to beating VCU? VCU, I'm looking at their schedule. As you mentioned, they just lost to a good St. Louis team. The common opponent earlier in the season, you guys lost. Your one loss was to Virginia Tech. They hammered Virginia Tech. What are the keys to winning tomorrow in Fairfax?
Well, we got to, you know, again, it's just one of those games where there's so much history. There's a lot of culture there. You know, I think tomorrow is going to have probably our largest attendance all season long at home. And so, you know, the intensity is going to be the intensity is going to be there. But our poise is just as important, even though it is VCU. You know, the game plan and just kind of what we need to do cannot change. Obviously, this is a team that can really, really shoot the three. But again, because they can shoot the three, we can't overextend ourselves and just get them driving in our lanes and touching our paint because they're really, really good at doing both. You know, like I said earlier, they've got five or six guys that can put 25 on you. They're very, very good in transition. You take a bad shot, you turn the ball over, they're going to punish you. I think they're one of the better teams in the country, if not top five in that category. I mean, from a defensive standpoint, you know, they've got a lot of length. They're very, very handsy with the basketball. And so we're going to have to be tough enough to just be able to withstand some of that physicality.
62-22 since taking over at your alma mater. You're the fastest George Mason coach to get to 50 wins. You're seventh nationally currently in the country in career win percentage at 738. Pay attention, people. Tony Skin is doing a phenomenal job at George Mason, and the Patriots are 15-1. Tomorrow, 12 noon, tickets available. GoMason.com/tickets. Best of luck to you, and I hope we have a chance to talk later on in the season before some of the biggest games in March.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Tony Skin, everybody. Yeah, I'm looking at KenPom. They're 84 in KenPom, but they've got teams in their league like St. Louis and VCU ahead of them. VCU currently 45th. In KenPom. In the net rankings, it would be a quad two win for Mason, but at this point, they have only one quad two win. You know, that A-10, like he said, it's different nowadays. You've last year, just two teams. VCU went, and I think it was Richmond that was the other team because they won the regular season. So you can win the tournament and get the automatic bid, but the only other way to ensure that you've got a pretty good chance is you've got to win the regular season. And you've got to win it with a really impressive overall record, which is what they're building right now. There's a lot of basketball to go, but 3-0 in the league, 15-1 overall. If they can win the league with, say, two or three league losses and that's it, an at-large bid would definitely be a good bet. All right, Ben Standing will join us next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.